Lord, we come before you in prayer humbly, knowing you know us better than we know ourselves. You know what has gone before us. You know what's going on in our lives now. And you know what lies ahead of us. So, Lord, we ask that you would minister greatly tonight at our service. You would draw people there. We pray that you'll be with Walker as he prepares to share the story of what you've been doing in his life. And, Lord, we want to pray for some other things this morning just before we come to your word. We want to pray this morning for Mark and Caroline Welsh, the previous ministers here. Lord, they're away. They've gone to be on mission into a country that is so delicate. And the trouble there and the persecution there could be so real. Lord, we realize this morning we can't even mention the name of that country. But we pray for Mark and Caroline as they have arrived. We pray, Lord, for their early preparations and learning language and settling in. We thank you, Lord, that there were many question marks in their preparations, but you've answered them all. You've opened all the doors, and you've made that way possible. We pray for their children, Matthew and his wife, Rebecca. They're just newly married, Heavenly Father, and we pray that they would know blessing as husband and wife, but that they would still know blessing, even though Mark's mum and dad are away. And also then their daughter, Rebecca. We just pray for her and her studies. And Lord, we have Harry and May here, Mark's mum and dad, with us. And we pray, Lord, that you would surround them and that we would keep a close watch on them as their spiritual family, Lord, in Mark and Caroline's absence. And Lord, we do realize there is separation when children go off to university, when people even go off on holidays or work overseas. But Lord, we have heard this last few days of the most devastating separation. A missing girl who has... body has been found, and Lord, as far as we know, that this family in Dorset are now mourning the loss of a daughter. And for all family members and all families, Lord, around the country who are watching this in the news, and they're wondering where their loved one has gone, a son or a daughter who have been missing for weeks or months or even years, Lord, we pray that old wounds that may be opened would be replaced and closed and healed, knowing your love. We prayed this morning, Lord, for Matthew and Rebecca, a newly married couple. And Lord, I want to pray now for a couple who are not newly married. We pray for the Queen and Prince Philip as they celebrate 70 years of marriage. And Lord, it just prompts us to say thank you for that illustration, for this example that they have set in a very prominent part of our country and part of our life. And we pray this morning, Lord, for all marriages represented here. Lord, many of us may never see 70 years married. Some of us may never see 70 years alive. But Lord, for every marriage represented here, we pray that we would know blessing in those marriages. That they would be the marriages that you have ordained. That they would have indeed that third strand that we read about in Ecclesiastes. The cord of three strands is not easily broken, Lord, and we know that you are that third strand. So we pray, Lord, you would be present, binding all marriages in our congregations. We thank, Lord, this morning of the people in Zimbabwe who are going through a time of change. And Lord, we thank you that we can so far see that that has been, for the most part, peaceful. It could have been so much worse, Lord. So much blood could have been shed there. But we do pray for the change from one regime to a different government. And Lord, a renewal for the people who lived there, for healing. Lord, for all the things that have gone on in that country. And we just ask, Lord, that those people who are involved would know your hand in that change. And even, Lord, closer to home, we see change in one of our local political parties. Lord, a party that has caused much heartache in the years with their various activities around our country and on the mainland. But, Lord, we see this party now in power. We've seen this party sharing government. We have seen, Lord, one of their leaders removed from this scene of time. And as the other leader seeks to step down and looks for new leadership, we do pray, Lord, for Sinn Féin. We pray, Lord, that the steps to peace that they have taken would continue and even go further. As they look to the future, Lord, we pray that the things of the past can be left behind. That people would find peace and be able to let go. And we pray this for all political parties and for all people here in this country. Lord, we pray that we could find unity so that we can concentrate in our political situation for things that really matter. For our health service, for education, for infrastructure and for jobs. Lord, that this place could be a prosperous place where we could live in comfort, Lord. But not only for these material things, we pray, Lord, that we could live here in unity and with our differences, Lord. We know you've made us all different, but you call us to unity, and we pray that for our country, for Zimbabwe, other countries, and other places around the world. We ask all of these things knowing that you are a God who hears us and answers us according to your will. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We come this morning to celebrate, administer, share in communion. And this psalm is a lovely psalm. I've loved reading it. I've not really read it that much, but I've loved the preparations in it because I realize that David in this psalm is in a bit of a tight spot, and we'll talk about that in a minute or two. And it made me, as I read through it, think of the times whenever I'm in a tight spot. If I'm even just feeling down or a bit fed up or, you know, just can't see things clearly, I just take a moment or two to myself and I think of the good old days. I'm at that age now where I can start to reminisce about the good old days of my youth and my life. And I remember my upbringing in a house. I love walking around Kew Gardens and over on that side because the noises of the estates, just where I was brought up in a council estate, just the same as that. And just the noises of people shouting and kids playing and dogs barking, and it just takes me right back. And I remember my upbringing. I remember us going down to play in the river down at the back of the estate. Well, we didn't plan to play in the river. We planned to play beside the river. But the theme tune to us coming home sounded quite often like this. Because somebody was coming home with one or two wet feet, either wet up to the knees or even sometimes completely had been submerged in the water. Other things we did was like riding our BMX bicycles down the slide. So we carried them up to the slide, set them on the slide, and whee, down the slide on our BMXs. And there was a few young ones in Clocky, and I had to tell them not to be doing that. But that was the things that we did, and we look back on them fondly and all the fun we had. My school days, I have fond memories of school, fond memories of starting work, and then some of the memories of not my younger days, but later on, meeting Ruth, getting married, going to Australia, our boys being born, some really good memories. Of course, many of us that look back, there's some not so good old days in there, some bad old days. Not meeting Ruth was not one of the bad old days. But there's some old things in there you think, oh, that was tough at the time. But we realize those things built our character. They made us the people that we are today. But as I look back, there's lots of really good memories. But I do realize this. As I look back, these here are becoming somewhat rose-tinted. And more so as I keep telling the stories, you seem to forget all the bad stuff and the good stuff gets even better. And as men, we do fall into this category. There's a t-shirt I have one in the house that says, "The older I get, the better I was." The stories get retold. They're true stories. But the details get somewhat embellished as time goes on. I hope you too have got fond memories to fall back on in your life when you're feeling down for a day or a period of time or something. You can think back of some memories and experiences. David certainly did. He looked back in this psalm at some good old days. But they weren't just days of school friends and climbing trees and falling into rivers. They were days when God was with him and with his nation. You might want to turn to Psalm 143 as we look down through it before we come to the Lord's table this morning. He says in verse 5, he says, "I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done." Now in this passage or in this verse, we don't know what David was remembering. He just says, "I remember the days of long ago." So when he says the days of long ago, we could rightly say that he's maybe remembering things before he was born. Remembering how he heard stories from his father, perhaps. Stories from Samuel. I mean, let's remember, that's what a covenant community does. It tells the generations upon the generations of the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. That's what we've been looking at over the last few weeks. So maybe his father or Samuel were telling him great stories of Noah, of Moses, of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Maybe he heard stories of how his great-grandfather Boaz met his great-grandmother Ruth. That lovely little book we have just in around the time of the Judges. But as we think of someone looking back at God's hand, we certainly would think, I think it's right that we consider David was thinking of his own life. Maybe as a young man, we believe that he wrote Psalm 23, or certainly Psalm 23, whenever it was written, was a reflection of his early days as a young shepherd boy out on the hills. Maybe it was then, one day, when he was lying back and just thinking of God, thinking of the green pastures, of the still waters, how the Lord revives his soul. Maybe he was thinking of some of those not so good old days when he was a shepherd boy, when he was being pursued or fighting lions and bears, and he had to fight them off with his hands. And we know he did that. He tells us that when he was contemplating going out to face Goliath. Maybe because he is in a particular situation like that again, that he's remembering some of the great victories that God has worked through him. But certainly we believe, and I think it's right for us to consider some of these old stories, some of the stories how God was working through him and in his life. But he's looking at a bigger picture, the work of God's hands. It made me think about, when did David first think about or first write down the beginning of Psalm 19? Was it whenever he was a young man, a young boy out on the fields at night or out on the mountains? No light pollution in those days, just a starry, bright sky. Maybe it was a bit later on than that, when he was being pursued by different enemies and he and his men were taking refuge, and it was maybe David's turn to stand guard while the men slept in a cave, and he was standing there and he looked out at the night sky. Was it one of those occasions when he looked up into the sky? And Psalm 19 tells us that David says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." We don't know what David was remembering. These are just some of the things that we know he was involved in, that we can read in scriptures. And we could think of many, many other things. But what we know is this: David's in a really tight spot. Verses 1 to 4 of this psalm tell us that he is up against it. He is dismayed. And for us, we may not be in a situation like David, exactly like this. But surely we can look at verse 4 and maybe have experienced, "My spirit grows faint within me, my heart within me is dismayed." We could think of a time when we did feel like that, or we could certainly think of circumstances that would make us feel like that. And what David did in verse 5 was just concentrate on God. It seems that he was getting all of that present stuff that was going on. He's moving it all to the side. He's beginning to see clearly. He's getting tuned in to God here. Because in verse 6 he says, just this lovely phrase, "I spread out my hands to you." We can say a lot with our hands. I know we do sign language and talk with our hands, but even if you don't know sign language, you can do a lot with the palms of your hands. If someone was walking towards me or you, and you did this, you put your palm of your hand out like this here, they would know that you want them to stop. You want them to stay where they're at, don't come any further. Police officers use it to direct traffic, to tell traffic to stop. So your palm is out. You can also have your palms in. Palms in communicate protection, or we're closed off, we're closing ourselves off. We can put our palms down. Some ministers use a palms down gesture to get people to sit down. You know, you may now be seated. You've seen ministers do that before. I don't know if you've ever felt that kind of pressure on your head to sit down. That's happened to me sometimes. I'm going, he's got long arms. The dog, we tell the dog at home, down. Anybody that comes to our door, you will know, we do this a lot at our front door. Down, stay, down. It's a position of dominance. But whenever we turn our palms up and hold our palms out, there is a gesture here of receiving. David has been listening to God. He has been remembering all that God has done. And all the troubles that are going on around him seem to be disappearing, and he's now with hands open. Not ready to get something into his hand, but he just has a posture, a gesture of openness, which he tells us is going right into his soul. He says, "My soul thirsts for you like a parched land." This is not the kind of thirst that's going to be easily sorted out. A cup of tea or a glass of water is not going to sort this out, because he is parched. This word means faint. He is weary. He's about to pass out. But David recognizes at this part of the psalm, this point of the psalm, he trusts God that's going to do something around here. He knows that God's going to act around him. And whatever God does around him, he himself needs something done within him. There's two things going on. There's an outward turmoil, but there needs to be an inner reviving. And David tells us that this is not the first time he's felt like this. Later on in the psalm, in verse 8, he goes back into the past tense. I have put my trust in you, he says. David has been here before. His story is quite remarkable. If you go back and read all that David went through in his life. And he has been here before. The Psalms, many of his Psalms, you get the same message repeating. David's in trouble. He talks to God. He receives from God and he gets back up out into the world. But what he receives from the Lord, he records for us in Psalm 35. He says to the Lord, contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take up shield and buckler. Arise and come to my aid. Brandish spear and javelin against those who pursue me. So that's something on the outside. And then he says to God, say to my soul, I am your salvation. His response is, then my soul will rejoice in the Lord with delight in his salvation. David is a man who trusts God. He's told us, I have put my trust in you. We know from this other psalm that we've looked at, Psalm 35, and many other of the psalms of David, we know that he is a man with a soul that is God's soul. It has been saved by God. But we know in this situation, his soul is thirsty. He's remembering God here. He's remembering all the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. And he is now, at this point, ready to receive from God. Are you here this morning as someone who has put their trust in God? Do you have the assurance that God's salvation applies to your soul? Are you here this morning with a thirsty soul? There are certainly various levels of thirst. But in this act of remembrance that we're coming to, are you ready to receive from God? As we come to this table, we are promised God's grace. We are promised a spiritual interaction. We should feel God's presence being poured into our lives as believers, as we share in the bread and wine. We've talked a lot about the Reformation and how there was Reformation. The Reformers created communion seasons where they led people for a number of weeks up to taking communion, preparing them to take communion. Maybe we have lost something today that we don't take time corporately or personally, privately, to prepare, to receive all that's available to us at this table this morning. As Christians, we should be coming into church every Sunday morning, Thursday. And we can get filled up. We can have that thirst quenched any Sunday morning as we sing and as we pray, as we give our offerings, as we do all the things that we do in worship. But today is a special day as we remember Jesus. And it's not wrong to come and want more of God. This is not greed to want more of God. It's natural. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Paul tells the church in Ephesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's not just filled once. Be continually filled. That verse could be rightly interpreted. We see in Acts chapter 2, the great day of Pentecost, all the believers were there. Boom, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. But many of those same believers we find in chapter 4 of Acts, with Peter again. Peter's just been released, and they're all there. And they're what? Filled with the Holy Spirit again. So were they not filled right the first time? Of course they were. But they needed filled again, because they've been out sharing the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Peter's been in the Sanhedrin. The people have been praying and praising God. And it says they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that makes them ready to go out and speak boldly again. This should be our pattern, folks. So in this pattern, as we come before the Lord's table today to do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said, folks, we should be opening ourselves up to receive, to be filled up. Are you ready to receive God's grace today in a spiritual interaction? Are you ready to receive this, to go out through those doors and boldly proclaim the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord? That's what we're here for. That was certainly what David was looking for in this psalm. Look at verses 8 and 10. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. That, folks, is the same spirit that we should be expecting to interact with at this table today, leading us and guiding us as servants. That's what David says at the end of the psalm. He affirms, I am your servant. I'm here to do your will. He knew he was going back out into that world, and God may very well have indeed removed that enemy. But there was going to be, you read David's story, there was going to be lots of people. As one enemy was removed, there was another one there. We could go out these doors this morning and go to work, and that same person that does your head in could still be there. That same neighbor could still be there. That same person who persecutes you because of your faith may still be there. God may not remove them. But he will interact with us spiritually today to revive us and make us ready to go out into this world. So as we do this in remembrance of me, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. We come remembering what he did to make salvation possible, dying on the cross, taking our punishment, his body broken, his blood shed. We also remember he rose gloriously from the grave. We've been singing about that. Opening the doors, open the gateway, blowing the doors off to let us get into eternity. You see, the cross, Jesus on the cross, is not just a ticket to get into eternity sometime whenever we die. Jesus hung on that cross. He said, do this in remembrance of me, because this, folks, is a way for us to be restored. This is a restoration resource for all who know and love Jesus Christ, for all who have put their trust in him. So in this act of remembrance, we are opening ourselves to spiritual refreshment today. Let us come now and do this in remembrance.